Welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball. Today is Wednesday, April 13th, 2022. I'm Carl James here with Cassidy Palmer. Josh and Chris both have the evening off, so it'll just be Cass and I today. The Indiana Hoosiers had a split week, 2-2, losing the series in West Lafayette at Purdue. They lost the Friday game by two touchdowns and a field goal, 17-0. Then a doubleheader on Sunday. Sorry, that was on Saturday. Schedule changes. It's Northern. Northern baseball
at its finest.
Yes. So Sunday doubleheader, the Hoosiers did win the opener of the doubleheader 10-3. Then there was a slugfest that went down to the last inning that the Hoosiers came up just shy, losing the rubber match, 16-15. The road trip continued. The Hoosiers went to Terre Haute last night, to face the Indiana State Sycamores. Looks like the Fighting Trees seemed to control it most of the game. Took a 5-1 lead into the ninth inning before quite an impressive run, including a 2-out, 3-run tying home run by Carter Matheson to make it 5-5. Tyler Doans hits the go-ahead home run to bring the Hoosiers up 6-5. And Braden Tucker slams the door. Both wins were saves by Braden Tucker, and you'll be hearing his name again, hint, hint, later in this podcast. So overall, you have to say it was based on what has happened so far, a relatively positive momentum week for the Hoosiers. Yeah, you don't want to lose a series to the Boilers. You don't want to do that up in West Lafayette. But you know what? The Boilers are a decent baseball team. Maybe not a good baseball team, but they're a decent baseball team. They got a phenomenal start out of their Friday starter Smeltz. Mm-hmm. The big podcast named him their big arm this week already. Yes, those guys are Purdue guys, but I didn't have any qualms with that decision.
No.
He really had his way with the Hoosiers. And I think they proved what the distinction was, because the Hoosiers had no problem pretty much hitting the rest of the Purdue arsenal, including their guy in the ninth. They doubled up the number of hits on the day in just that one inning.
I was going to say, I'm thrilled if there's 25 runs of offense in a series. They hit off of pretty well off of everybody not named Smeltz.
Yeah. So what were your big takeaways from the week, Cass?
Well, I hated that game one made me look smart. A lot of times I like when the team makes me look smart, but not when I look smart because we couldn't string together any offense and we plunked 7 Boilers in one game. And granted, some of those were in an eighth inning where the game had already pretty well gotten away. When you've got no offense to speak of and you're already down double digits. Yeah, it can snowball pretty quickly at that point, but still 7 plunks in one game. That's not ideal. Was hoping it'd be a reverse jinx where I say, oh, hey, we're one of the worst at plunking teams and they're one of the best at getting plunked, and it would negate it. And no, that didn't happen. Well, it didn't happen that game. Largely steered clear of plunks the rest of the game. I think it was 2 or 3 total in the remaining 2 games. If there are only 2 or 3 plunks in 2 games, I'm thrilled. That is not an issue whatsoever.
Yep. Yeah, and that first game, every pitcher plunked somebody. That was the thing that really blew my mind.
Yes. And so that was what stood out initially. I don't have much by way of hard stats this week. It's a crazy busy time at work for the next 3 weeks or so. But one of the things that just stood out to me was Grant Holderfield being able to pitch as well as he did in both ends of the doubleheader. That just really, really impressed me. And then Ty's outing against Indiana State. Both of those to me were very, very positive developments in a time where, what would that be, 42 runs over the four games? I think 36 on the weekend. No, 41. Math. If you're giving up 41 games across four games, 41 runs, four games. But both Grant and Ty very much impressed me in relief, and that's been a little bit of a sticking point, has been relief outings this season. So those two very much impressed me. And then outside of that, first game against Smelts, the offense went bonkers. I like seeing that. Struggled a little bit to start off at Indiana State. But even then, there was a little shuffling in of the lineup a little bit. You had Carter getting a little bit of a rest day. That can throw some things off. But once they got to that ninth inning, it was no problem. It was clicking, and I love seeing a freshman come in, pinch hit situation, two outs down to his final strike, and just knock one over the outfield fence. That's always fantastic. And then to see Tyler, who's never going to be your biggest home run guy, follow that up immediately with a home run of his own. That was special, and that's the kind of momentum you kind of need going into the back half of the season, is getting those close wins, late game situation wins. That can be really helpful to build some momentum.
Yeah, I got a chance to talk to Coach this afternoon in the weekly media session. His take on it was just that, you know, the team has managed to battle back from being behind several times and has kept coming up short. And he said it was just good for them to finally get over that hump and have one of these comebacks and actually win it.
Yes.
They deserve that, and what he said was that above all else, the pitching kept it close enough to allow that to work. Mm-hmm. When in the past, the pitching has just let it stay just a bit too far out of reach.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, and I think it's, you know, hey, holding a team to five runs on a midweek, a good team.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
talking a Missouri yeah. Valley team. Missouri Valley is a real honest to goodness conference.
Yeah.
So you have a team that's it may very well be a regional team in Indiana State, to hold them to five runs in a midweek, with an assortment of arms going.
Oh yeah.
That was a positive experience. There were four walks, and even the coach admitted the last walk was kind of an intentional.
Yeah. And to me, with the Indiana State game, looking at my scorecard, five of the innings, a runner did not get into scoring position at any point. Might have been a leadoff home run in one of those innings, but yeah, one leadoff solo shot, I'm not concerned about as a general rule.
Because the issue this team has had is walking somebody and then giving up a home run.
Right. And in that first inning, the runner in scoring position was a bit of a mystery. I think the wind was doing stuff out there in the outfield at Terra. It's always pretty windy there, and the wind never picks one direction there. Because even their guys had a couple of misreads that they were able to just correct on. But there was a pretty big misread in the outfield that led to technically a triple, because it's never going to be counted as an error. And he was stranded there. One out triple, and he was left. That, to me, was one of the biggest moments, because that has been an issue of if a runner gets into scoring position, it's not always good.
Yeah. And there's been multiple ways they've gotten into scoring position. It just seems like they get a runner on first with zero or one outs, that runner usually finds their way into scoring position and then usually finds home plate. And it's just tough. It's tough to compete when that has been so consistent.
And in fact, that was Dones in the third inning. I love scoring runs with no hits. I mean, I love hits. You're much more likely to score runs when you get hits, but with Dones getting the leadoff walk, stealing the base, putting the pressure on, getting to third on a wild pitch, and then pressure's off Cerruto, pretty much just put it in play somewhere, and that's a run. And that's exactly what he did. Yep. And that can really make a big difference.
Well, and it was nice to just flip that script because the Hoosiers got out hit 10-4 and won the game.
Yes.
As opposed to the game before in which the Hoosiers out hit Purdue 22-15, mm-hmm. out seven more hits, uh-huh. and lost the game.
Uh-huh. I'm still just hung up on the 15 runs and lost the game.
Yeah.
That one, like, honestly, that game for me was more frustrating than the 17-0.
Well, like the thing is, the 17-0, the game was over going into the eighth inning. Yeah. So 10 of those runs scored in an inning when it was like, okay, we're going to give these three pitchers who for various reasons have been struggling an opportunity to see if they can just collect some outs.
Yeah.
And in the end, they all gave up runs and one of them did actually manage to collect some outs. So.
Yeah. And I have no, and that's why that one, to me, that's kind of a, I don't want to say a collective failing, but if your offense scores none, it doesn't matter how much your pitching gives up. Like everybody has a little bit to play in that, but
yeah.
But gosh, when you're so close and you score 15 runs in a rubber match against your rival. Oh, that one is, I know we've talked about this a little bit on a close loss versus a blowout. Those close losses hurt so much more.
Yeah. And I get that. And as a fan, I think that I definitely absolutely see that. You know, coach's take on that is more of the team competed. That was his thought absolutely. On that was that it was good to see, you know, competition because we met with him after the Saturday game. We could not meet with him after the doubleheader Sunday because of the timing, it was just too late. We had to get back to Bloomington. But you could tell on Saturday it was a frustration at the lack of competition.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, with the hitting, I don't think it was so much. I mean, that's just one of those tip your cat.
Yeah.
Smeltz was on.
He had our number.
Yeah. And the point is, you know, Perkins could have had a phenomenal outing and that still was going to be a loss.
Yep. Yep.
Now there was, before I get off of that, I have a huge recognition I want to give to Jack Perkins, which is, Yes, he took the loss. He gave up eight hits and six earned runs. Most of that was in the first inning.
Mm-hmm.
He still managed to pitch six.
Pitch six innings. Yep.
And that, with the state of the pitching right now, the importance of that cannot be understated.
Yep.
Jack Perkins pitching six innings is what allowed the team to both win the first game on Saturday and compete in the second game on Sunday
and
was because of what Jack Perkins did.
And if you had told me after that first inning with 31 pitches that he would be able to go six, I wouldn't have believed it.
Yes. There's a reason he is the ace of the staff and it's not that he's always going to have the best outing, but you know what?
He's going to get
he's able to dial it in. And even if he doesn't have every one of his pitches, even if he's had a rough outing, he's able to dial it in and do his job for the rest of that game.
Yep.
And throw 106 pitches, throw six innings, and be and compete and put it in the position to where those key arms were not did not have to throw on Saturday, and Holderfield and Tucker were able, you know, when Bremer was only able to go, the point is they were able to make a decision that, you know what, I mean, they probably, you know, if that game had really gotten, if that game had gotten out of hand, you know, they may have pushed Bremer to pitch a bit more to just try to eat innings. But they were able to say, you know what, right now, for competitive reasons, going to Holderfield here makes sense.
Yeah.
And they were able to do that in the fifth inning, and then still be able to finish up with Tucker to pitch three innings and get that save. So, yep.
And to me, honestly, with Perkins, what stood out to me is even after that rough start, he had his best inning in the fifth inning. Like, that's kind of nuts at that point. I mean, he was 80 plus innings or 80 plus pitches at that point going into the fifth inning. And he still had his easily his best inning of the outing that inning. Like, his what he's got at the beginning, he's got at the end, which is real important.
Yep. As I said, I'm feeling really good about our starters. There was a very interesting announcement made at the media session today, which is a change up to the starting rotation for this coming weekend. And the reason the coach gave was that that the two starters have both had to pitch on 5 days rest in the past. And typically a college pitcher is on 6 days rest. They get a full week, essentially. So they're always, if you're pitching on Fridays, you're always pitching on Fridays. Well, because of the change in the schedule, it was Saturday, Sunday for Perkins and Bremer. It will be Saturday, Sunday again for Perkins and Bremer in Piscataway, which means that it's going to be some sort of staff type day to start off the series on Friday. And you know, coach was very clear on that. Now I'm willing to do a little bit more speculating here that I think there might be some strategy involved in this too.
Oh, yeah.
I might be wrong. I have no clue here, but I'm thinking there might be some strategy involved with this.
Yeah.
You know, going on the road to play under the sun.
Yes.
Not under the lights.
No.
Not under the non-existent lights in Piscataway. Yes, we're going to the Big Ten leader that doesn't have lights.
I did love Feeney's suggestion of like drone spotlights flying above the game. I liked that idea.
Yeah, the parents can turn on their car lights as well. So
yes,
there's things they can do to try to light the place up. But no, the first game will be at 2 p.m. In order to try to get that game under. So it will be very important that the bullpen for IU throw strikes, so the game does not go seven hours and end up having to be delayed for darkness. So.
Yeah. That still just blows my mind how they in this day and age do not have lights. I think my high school field has had lights for years now and Rutgers doesn't.
But the point is you're going to play what is clearly a very good team.
Yes.
So I think from a strategy perspective, what are you looking for? For the longest time, you know, IU has constructed its starting rotation with the idea of if the team is able to get a sweep, you want to get a sweep.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your best guy going on Friday, then you go to your next guy on Saturday, your next guy on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Unless something, you know, and then of course you might get into a situation in which you're already set up, which like last year, it was kind of backwards because, you know, Bierman was coming off injury. And he was relegated to Sunday, but by the end of the season, he was the best pitcher.
Right.
But it just happened to be on Sunday. In 2019, you know, Saul Frank wasn't even in the rotation.
Yeah.
He had to replace the hurt summer. But then Saul Frank found it, eventually became Big Ten Pitcher of the Week. And again, he was pitching on Sundays.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of makes sense for Indiana at this point. You know, I'd say you don't feel bad if you can prevent getting swept on the road against the best team in the Big Ten.
Yes.
So winning one of the next three is, you don't feel bad about it. It's not the goal, but you don't feel bad about it.
Right.
Winning two is the goal.
Yes.
That's the great. You're not thinking about a sweep. If it sweep were to happen, it would be fantastic.
Yeah.
But the point is, you're not really going for it. So you're, I wouldn't say sacrificing that first game, because you're not, you're off. No. You've got an offense that should be able to win any game.
Should.
But you know what? If their Friday guy shuts it down,
we haven't wasted our best guys.
You haven't wasted your best starters, and you have a chance to go win the series with both of your starters.
Yes.
So from that perspective and a strategy perspective, and, you know, we've seen this from, you know, from teams that come to the BART and do this intentionally.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of these mid-major teams that are brought in for these early season series that come in and they pitch it backwards, you know, intentionally trying to, hey, you know what, we're going to try to steal one of those two games.
Yeah.
We'll try to win the last two, you know, because we just don't feel like there's much of a competition there and against that Friday starter, which is weird because IU's generally been pretty balanced. Now IU isn't. IU really does have two starters, and it's better on those two start games.
Yep.
So it's going to be games two and three that IU is going to have those starters.
You
know, by all means though, hey, you end up piecing it together and you got a lead in the sixth, by all means, they'll go to Braden Tucker to try to close it out.
Absolutely.
So you're
not going to waste that opportunity if it presents itself.
However you're up, if you're up, you go after it.
Oh yeah.
But if it's, you know, if it's Rutgers 10, IU 2, no, you're just going to keep giving guys opportunities.
Eat some innings.
And, well, not just eat innings, but opportunities. Opportunities for guys to say, you know what, you struggled finding anywhere near the plate. Now you have an opportunity to try to locate pitches, compete, and see what you can do, maybe earn a more prominent role in the midweek or in the next week. So
yeah. Oh, absolutely. And again, like I've said before, and we've brought this up a few times, these guys, at least the guys who are returners, they didn't get midweeks last year. They didn't get this opportunity to go figure it out live, go figure it out in the game. They didn't get that opportunity. So this is kind of that opportunity for them.
All right. Well, the Big Ten is kind of already getting itself somewhat figured out. again, it's interesting, but there's already a decent amount of separation. Clearly, not what a lot of people expected. No one really expected that Rutgers would be the class of the league right now.
Nope.
But there is no denying they're the class of the league right now. And in fact, yes, I think RPI wise, Maryland is still the best team.
They are.
Yes, they are. You know, they're tied for third at 4-2 in the league right now. But they play two series, one against Penn State, one against Minnesota. I'm sorry, the Big Ten champion should have swept one of those series.
Oh yeah.
Sorry. I would be really concerned for Maryland right now, not having swept one of those series.
Yep.
Yeah, I get losing one of those games, but that they should be 5-1 right now.
Yes. Agreed.
While Rutgers has gone and swept two series, including the second year in a row, going to Lincoln and sweeping Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Loud. I don't care what state Nebraska is in right now. That is loud.
Yes.
And Indiana's got its hands full going to Pisgah.
Absolutely.
You know, Illinois, I mean, I said this a couple weeks ago. On paper, Illinois looked really strong. Mm-hmm. And now at 7-2 in the league, that's including a series win over Iowa. That's that is really impressive. So I know we're looking at Rutgers and Maryland as kind of the class of the league, but
Illinois is not far off.
Don't sleep at Illinois. Northwestern, interesting story. You know, they look decent against IU, but again, as we know, IU's been struggling, so I don't really find IU to be the test there.
Yeah.
you know, I think to some degree, you know, IU is being dismissed at this point, you know, as even as a team competing for a top eight. I think that is way too early to be saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how IU deploys its pitching during the weekend, as these roles begin to figure it out, I think it's huge what Ty Bothwell has done in his last three outings.
Yes.
You can't understate that. I mean, it's big. Indiana needs to have guys who are able. IU doesn't need great pitching.
No.
IU needs competitive pitching.
Yes. Consistently competitive pitching. I just want consistent.
Yeah. Well, I don't want consistent bad.
That is true. Yeah. Yeah. But even just consistent, decent pitching. It does not have to. Our offense is at a point we don't need the phenomenal pitching that we've had for years and years, and we've needed at times for years and years. This offense doesn't need that.
Yeah. Eliminate the free bases.
Yep.
Throw fastballs, as Coach said, throw fastballs to both sides of the plate and be able to somewhat land your off-speed stuff. If you can do that, keep the hitters somewhat off balance. Yes, they're going to get a couple big hits here and there, but try to scatter those hits as much as possible.
Yep.
You know, try to limit the runs, you know, to that, you know, 5 to 6 range, and give the offense an opportunity like they did against Indiana State to go win some baseball games. And in most of these cases, and then I've made that point a bunch of times in our group, and even Chris is sort of, oh, well, they just got lucky there at the late innings. That was the point that Chris made, and I can make this since he's not here to refute me right now. That I'm sorry. It's not how I saw it. I think this offense, you know, does figure it out and does manage to do some pretty impressive things. And boy, did they. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, pulling the right strings, getting the right guys in place. And that was huge, you know, Coach going to the guy who had that struggle to end the game on Sunday, and goes right back at him in a pinch hit roll. And then Carter Matheson hits that amazing 3-run jack. So.
Yes. Yes. And that's what so much of this season, when you're starting anywhere from 7 to 8 new guys in starting roles on the field, when you that means you're over the lineup is also kind of needing some figuring out, and you lose all of your rotation. Like this is very much the plug in, see how it goes. Okay, shuffle this around. Okay, now see how it goes. That's really what this season is, because they're all new.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there's any coincidence that two of the teams suffering the most in the Big Ten are Indiana and Ohio State.
Yeah.
Both teams lost their entire rotations to the draft.
Yeah.
So for Indiana, though, it's the second time it's happened in the last 3 years.
Yep.
It's not that it just happened last year. It happened 2 years before that.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And, you know, and I guess for us, it was that, you know, we took that as the, okay, now the expectation is you reload just like last time. And you know what? This is harder than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear, you know, did we see it, read the Twitter responses to the official team, Twitter.
After
Saturday, I went through and read them.
I don't go into the comments anymore.
Well, I did, and I read them, and it was a little like, reading, you know, men's basketball Twitter after a loss. But understanding when I read that probably a lot of the folks that said that hadn't really watched the game,
mm-hmm.
hadn't been paying close attention. Now I'm with Chris on that. Hey, it's awesome that you care.
Yes.
It really is. It's awesome that you care.
I'd rather that than the opposite.
Right. But some of the suggestions, some of the, oh, this is just horrible. This is worse. Direct quote, heads need to roll. Come on. I disagree. I'm going to be flat out against that. And this is my biggest reason for that. Look at how frustrated those of us who were really paying attention were at the end of last year with how the offense was performing, how the position player core was performing. None of us thought that this coaching staff was going to be able to turn that around so quickly.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Look at the amazing performance that this core position player group is putting together this year. Both defensively and at the plate. This is a phenomenal group, and it's done with growing from within, with a guy like Bobby Whalen, mm-hmm. with an amazing group of freshmen, and with a solid group of transfers, mixing all that together and making it work
in year one of this kind of mix.
You basically almost completely turning it over. They were successful. So on one side of it, they were very successful. The other side, less than successful.
Yeah.
But starting to piece it together.
Yeah.
I really not significant qualms with the two starters. And again, I kind of like where they're headed as Saturday and Sunday guys. You know.
Yeah.
They right now this team does not have a Friday starter. They just don't have that real honest to goodness dominant Friday guy.
Yep.
But to some degree, IU hasn't kind of had it last year in Gabe, even though he pitched on Sunday.
That's true.
Because McCade was the stuff was incredible, but the control was somewhat lacking. And you kind of need both, out of a Friday guy.
Yeah.
So, so probably, not really since Jonathan Stever has there been that Friday guy.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah. Now I love Pauly, and Pauly.
Oh yeah.
Was battled like crazy, but Pauly, I had more success on Saturday than he did in his year, in his junior year on Saturday than he did in his senior year on Sunday.
Yep.
Not that what that does is important, like we talked about. Hey, that opening game, at the very least, if you're able to eat eight innings. And Pauly did have a couple, including that almost no-hitter up in Seattle.
He was pretty consistent with the – you're not going to have an early hook on him.
Yeah.
It might not be the best outing ever, but –
yeah, and I'll tell you,
pretty competitive and eat innings.
I remember listening to the Big Pod and listening to Rob Vaughn talk about it, and it was so funny because they even beat Pauly in his last time they faced him, mm-hmm. and he was still talking like, "I'm so glad Pauly Milto is not in the league anymore."
Sometimes you just see those guys who seem like they're there forever.
Yep,
and sometimes they really are there forever now with COVID years.
Yeah. And that's another piece of it is that, you're talking about facing guys that have that kind of experience, mm-hmm. that they're facing, while IU is really pitching, really putting it together with a whole bunch of young guys. And even someone like Jack Perkins, who's been, he missed a ton of time due to injury. This is his first real regular starting gig. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
and he's heading a staff that's used to being, among the best in pitching staffs, and that's a lot to put on him, and to see what he did in this last week is awesome.
Yeah,
Bradley Bremer coming from a mid major and trying mm-hmm. to do the same thing,
and his improvement level. His improvement this season has been phenomenal.
Yeah, so you're starting to see those things get to piece together. They're starting to see those roles. They're seeing that, that Tucker is really kind of slotting into, he's the guy that's going to be in high leverage situations.
Yep. As he should be.
Yeah. Grant Holderfield, next in high leverage situations, possibly first to kind of bridge to Tucker, if that works when you really, really need that W.
Maybe not a true setup closer, but something along those lines.
Yep. So, you know, we're starting to see those pieces fall in line and trying to extend to get more innings. I think, you know, they obviously need to develop that a little bit more, especially if the goal is to try to squeak into the top eight, get to the tournament in Omaha and the Big Ten tournament in Omaha. But, you know, then they're going to need to be able to pitch multiple innings and not completely
fall apart.
You know, it can't just be offense. There's got to be pitching. And they know that these guys are talented.
Oh, yeah.
And that they can – they've just got to be able to execute pitch location. Yeah. I don't
– Yep.
I'm clearly not an expert in
– I don't think any of us are.
No. But, you know – so the the questions of why is location such a consistent problem for so many of these guys? I don't know what's causing that. But
it's not just one guy either.
No, it isn't. But you can tell they're very aware that is the issue.
Yes,
and they they are addressing it, and we're seeing gradual improvement.
Yeah.
You're seeing each week another guy take a step forward. And I think this past week, it was Ty Bothwell.
Absolutely.
Talking about, what, about six innings or so worth that he was able to throw solid innings when he wasn't able to produce one much before that. So
yeah. And again, like I was saying with – because he was the one – he had the solo shot lead off an inning – that honestly doesn't bug me. That's really the only hard hit he gave up. He gave up two other hits and they were kind of bloop singles. Like, I will take one leadoff home run. Like, he missed one pitch over the entirety of his outing on Tuesday. Like, that does not bother me. And that was at a ballpark where, at least based on what the commentators were saying, wind was a factor. It was a fairly batter friendly ballpark.
Yeah.
At least that night.
Yeah. And and again, I don't mind a mistake, especially a mistake for a hit.
Yeah.
What we want to see is the sudden, you know, rolling for a little bit and then all of a sudden can't throw the ball anywhere near the strike zone.
Yep.
And what's interesting is that actually happened to Grant Holderfield at one point.
Yes.
In the sixth inning in the first game on Sunday, and I asked Coach about that today. And he got he walked a guy, then got to a two ball count, throwing pitches nowhere near the zone. And Philip Glasser called time, went to the mound, had a conversation with him, and then Grant ended up striking that guy out. So
yeah,
that was huge to see. And once we get everything posted, you'll be able to see what Coach said about that, which I thought was pretty special.
Well, I was also impressed with his, coming in with runner on second and third and just one out the inning prior and okay, I'll get you to line into a double play. Now, granted, that was a very good play on Dones's part, but to have that kind of composure as a freshman, like the fact that we're talking about Grant as a high leverage situation pitcher as a freshman, that says the world to me.
And it is, and he's gonna be a stud for this program.
Oh, he is absolutely
cool. All right, well, let's we've got a couple weekly items that we need to get to. Our Big Ten pick'em, it continues to be the Cass and Josh show. They are in the lead at 9-4. They just keep rolling here. I've got everybody's picks but yours, Cass, so I'm going to put you on the spot and have you go first.
Okay, let me pull them up and not just the live RPI. So I am going to go with Illinois beating Northwestern at home.
Okay.
Because, yeah, Northwestern beat us. I don't know that right now we're the barometer for Big Ten success quite yet. Going to go Michigan at Michigan State. Don't think home field advantage does quite enough for them. This next one was my most difficult one to pick, and it was far more difficult than I expected. I'm actually picking Penn State over Purdue. Looking at RPI, they're only 10 slots different. Purdue comes in at 130 and Northwestern's at, Penn State's at 140. And the big thing that stood out to me, Purdue is 1-4 in true road games. So I think that could be a big one for Penn State, who has not played all that bad considering their schedule. I'm going to take Maryland at home over Ohio State because I think home field advantage is enough for them. And I'm picking not Minnesota. Going with Iowa.
Shocking, shocking.
I'm going to be very surprised if I pick Minnesota at any point this season.
Yep. Not so spoiler alert. No one picked Minnesota this week.
Honestly, I'll be more surprised if anyone does pick Minnesota again.
Yes, I think Chris did it once and that burned him. And that's one of the reasons he is the only one of us that has a losing record right now.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So since I started with Chris, I will continue with Chris, although he is continuing the pattern of picking multiple against the grain picks. He also joined Cassidy in picking Penn State to beat Purdue. He has Ohio State upsetting Maryland.
Ooh.
In College Park. So that's an interesting one. Yes, as he said, we all picked Iowa. That's almost like, it's almost like it's that kind of just give me type series. Chris is bucking the trend here too. He's going with Northwestern in the Illinois state rivalry game against their rival Illinois. He is going with the home team in the Michigan rivalry series. He's going to pick Michigan State at home to defeat Michigan, which I don't think is all that on the limb. There's a lot of just head scratching as to Michigan hasn't yet identified, are they really good or not? We just don't know yet. Michigan State for a while looked good, and they have not looked good lately.
Yeah.
Josh and I were really close. We only differed on Illinois Northwestern. That was a coin toss to me. I really like Illinois, but you know, I've seen Northwestern play on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? After a good week that got him a nomination in Big Arm, I'm going to say Kobe Moe. Kobe Moe drives it home. He's going to close out a game that's going to win them. It's going to win Northwestern a series. So that was my pick there. But Josh did go with Illinois. Josh and I matched all our other picks. We both went with Purdue. I do hear you, Cass, on that, that Penn State is pretty close. I think Purdue's got, I think, a lot of really decent hitting. I like the way they spread out the lineup. They've got at least one good starter, and I think against Penn State they can put together a second win in that group. I fully expect, because they've done it every week, Maryland's going to scuff a game. But yep. I think they'll win the series. I think that they're going to win a series at home. I'm not even going to discuss Minnesota to Iowa. Minnesota used to be good. I just don't get that.
And they were always consistently decent at the minimum.
Yeah. It's kind of depressing for the league. It'd be kind of like LSU being really bad in the SEC.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like Mizzou level bad in the right. SEC.
Yeah.
You just don't, that's just not something you think should happen. And that's
right.
kind of where we are with Minnesota, and it's kind of depressing. I kind of agonized on Michigan State too, but I'm going to stick to the script and pick Michigan. So that they will, I don't think Michigan State's playing all that well right now. So this is not a time I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick kind of an upset. So that does mean we all pick differently, which is nice. I think we actually had a match last week. You and Josh, I think, picked the same last week. So that's why you both are tied.
Yeah.
Which, let me see here. You have, I guess you could still come out that way with multiple things going differently. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that all pops out. Maybe it'll be that Chris finally catches up, that he goes,
everything
five
breaks
and
his way.
And it all breaks his way. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes up. And I did my typical thing, which is I went mostly across the predicted board with one pick. And so far I've split those. So,
yep. I mostly go by the live RPI and with a few tweaks here and there.
Yep.
Honestly, the thing that surprised me the most, I used just one slot down from Purdue as of now in the RPI.
Well, beating Indiana State on the road is loud. Indiana State, Indiana's improved, just gone 2-2 against two teams that are, they're both over like 667, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, in RPI, half of the statistic is just your opponent's win-loss record. So playing those four games against teams that have won that many baseball games has been, right there was huge. They were all road games.
Yep.
So even going 2-2 is actually going 2.8 and 1.4.
Yep.
So, those stats really help.
Yes. And that jumped the at least yesterday, jumped the RPI 23 spots.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was a huge RPI game.
Yes.
Obviously, we know IU's got a lot still to prove.
Yep.
And the RPI really, we look at RPI as a comparison piece. As far as, you know, getting into the tournament, that ship has pretty much sailed. IU's not going to be able to really get into that kind of a position without, I mean, just
running the table.
And then somehow every pitcher suddenly is able to throw, to locate pitches.
Yes. All at the same time.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I don't see that. I could foresee gradual improvement that gets to the point at which maybe the team can make a run in the Big Ten tournament.
Yep.
But they're going to need all the pieces to fall in place over that time. And it's going to happen slowly like this. It's going to be like, Ty Bothwell this week. Maybe.
Yep.
You know, maybe Reese Sharp gets closer the next week. Maybe John Madunio not only is able to do what he has been doing, which has been able to keep the ball in the strike zone.
Yeah.
But maybe he's able to start getting us weaker contact and not just getting hard contact all the time. Yeah.
And some of these guys maybe being able to stretch a few more innings.
Yeah.
They're going.
Yeah, you know, maybe Joe Moran can pitch one inning
real good. Yeah.
And be able to get mostly soft contact, maybe only one hard contact, and be able to do that for an inning. And as he continues to come out of develop from his injury, maybe David Platt becomes more of what was expected of him before the injury.
Oh,
maybe that develops. I'm not saying it will, but all those things are legitimate possibilities.
Yep.
And
if they all happen at once, hey, just about anything's possible with this offense.
Right. Exactly. This is not a situation where you need, I mean, look at the 2013 team.
Yeah.
That pitching staff was not, you had two fantastic starters in Sleggers and Donato, but a lot of it was just what they got guys who weren't perfect, but battled like Will Corson Carr that gave that phenomenal offense an opportunity to score enough runs to win.
Yep.
And that's all we're asking for out of this pitching staff.
Yep. Not 36 runs in a weekend.
Yep. All right. Well, Chris has given to me his picks for the red belts, so I'm gonna get to that. And it was some pretty solid performances. I'm gonna start with the Tony Butler Award, which is gonna go to Tyler Downs, who in that big win managed to almost single-handedly have a couple of key double plays mm-hmm. that were just some phenomenal plays, including that just brilliant awareness play where he managed to tag the guy and mm-hmm. throw the next guy out.
Yep.
And you brought that up, Cass. It was just that pitching staff needs those double plays yep. so badly.
Yes.
And quite frankly, this has been an area of opportunity for this team.
Yeah.
They're able to, for the most part, avoid the mistakes that lead to not getting any outs.
Yeah.
But they've just not been great at turning double plays. Mm-hmm. So Tyler found a different way to do it this time and managed to get multiple times, get two outs and get these innings over with, get them back, get the offense back up to the plate. So Tyler Downs for the Tony Butler Award for the Alex Dickerson Award, Sam Morrison. Mm-hmm. Again, you can't think, these are not expectations. This is not a name we you thought to be hearing. Oh my goodness, what
he had
a
fun
day on Sunday fun. In two games. Mm-hmm. In his first four at bats, he gets RBIs. uh-huh. A home run in both games.
Yep.
Oh, he was just absolutely on fire. Mm-hmm. What a great performance from Sam. So, Alex Dickerson Award goes to Sam. And then the Joey Donato Award, as I said, I told you we were coming back to him. Two saves, the saves in both weeks, just absolutely fierce, dialed in. Four innings of work, Braden Tucker, mm-hmm. just huge. Not absolutely perfect, but you know what? The dude battled. He yeah. kept his wits about him. He battled. Yeah. He finished both games.
Pitched with emotion without being emotional.
Exactly. You hit it right on the head. Yeah, exactly. It's one of these focused emotion that allows you to be successful,
yep.
Not emotional, out of control, yeah. Not able to focus.
Reminds me of Jake Kelzer.
Yeah.
With that aspect.
And, you know, and I think that's important. And Coach really addressed that here because, you know, he's like, yes, he knows, you know, Braden Tucker would like to start. He'd like to be, you know, that starting pitcher. But you can't overestimate how important, how absolutely important mm-hmm. Those key relievers are.
Yep.
And that has been, that's been how IU's pitching has been so good over this 10-year run. It has not just been with starting pitching.
No.
And in fact, I'd say less so.
Yep.
You know, we talked about that 2015 team and even the independent thing. They go down to play a team that's a national seed like Vanderbilt, and yep. they rate how all the teams go. And they said, well, the one thing to say is at all the four teams there, Indiana by far has the best bullpen.
Yep.
And that's what made Indiana so competitive that year.
Yep.
Even last year, you know, it was the fact that yes, there were three great starting pitchers. But the point is, that team did not let up. And nope. then they'd had bullpen games where John Madunio would be followed by Ty Bothwell, you know, would be yep. followed by Machaki. And yeah. those were some of the best games they pitched overall, were the games yep. where it wasn't one of the core starters that was pitching.
Yep.
And I'm kind of excited to see a Friday that's going to be a staff day.
Yeah.
It might blow up in the team's face. I get that. But you know what? I'm excited to see how they compete.
Yep. I'd rather not blow a Perkins start again like yep. that, in all honesty.
Yeah.
And if the Friday guys who we're going to have the most trouble against on the offensive side, why not? So often for IU, it's been, we know our Friday starter is going to be better than your Friday starter. Mm-hmm. That, and so that hasn't even been a concern, really. But at this point, it's a little different. Not that Perkins has not been good as the Friday starter. Our offense hasn't given him enough. He's done well.
Yeah.
We just haven't been able to hit Friday guys.
Well, we've gotten, and this is the thing, I don't feel that we've done bad at hitting Friday guys. I think we just, IU has gotten a little unlucky at getting these Friday guys at their best.
Yep.
And sometimes it's a roll of the dice. I mean, got that last year. That sweep at Ohio State was just, they hit every one of those guys at their best game. And those are guys, they were not able to replicate that the rest of the year.
No.
And it's, well, it's just because of Indiana's offense. No, it wasn't. No. They were locating pitches they could not locate the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's going to happen. you're going to have days like that. And you know what? Jack Perkins is going to have a day in which he's going to locate all of his pitches and he's going to have that absolutely dominant performance. It's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
And it goes all the same way. I mean, same thing. You know, Gabe Bierman had his against Nebraska last year.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the Big Ten champion.
Yep.
Pretty much single-handedly.
Yeah.
Because that was the day he had everything working for him. So you're gonna see that from all teams. And I think IU's just been a little unlucky that they've gotten that from a few different guys so far.
Yeah.
And I think the proof in that in the Purdue series was last week, in that was the only time it happened. The rest of the weekend, Indiana bats just got all over him.
Yeah.
And statistically, their other starter was actually a little bit better.
Right.
For the year. So
sometimes it's just a straight matchup.
Yeah. In college, that earned run average number, we lean on it a lot, can be very deceptive in college.
Absolutely.
Because these are young guys, they're going to have a bad outing.
Yep.
And sometimes that bad outing is really ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And given the low number of innings these guys pitch, it can massively distort their numbers.
Yep.
So ERA is not a number I would spend a ton of time with.
Yeah.
And to some degree, it can be deceptive too. I think on the other end, for example, last season, IU was phenomenal in ERA.
Yes.
And a lot of that dealt with how deep that pitching staff was.
Mm-hmm.
That if a guy showed just a sign, he doesn't have all his pitches, he was out of there.
Yep.
He wasn't out there to get lit up. While you look at this year and like, oh my goodness, the ERA is so much worse. It's the worst it's been since, in all the time that IU has tracked. And I actually had someone say that at this point, that since IU has tracked the ERA, this is the worst season the team's had. But a lot of that really deals with the fact that the team, that the depth isn't there.
Yeah.
And they are trying to compete. So there are times when it's like, well, if we're trying to compete for a series, like on Friday, you get to an eighth inning, you're down by 7 runs. You've got a starter that has completely shut you down. Yeah, you feel your offense can do something, but probably 8 runs in one inning is probably way too tall an ask when you're trying to win a series. You want to save that pitching and you want to give guys an opportunity to find it. Like, here you go. And they ran 3 guys out there that didn't have it.
Yep.
And you kind of leave them out there. It's like, get some outs. Well, like one guy couldn't get out. They put another guy, couldn't get an out, but another guy, he gives up a lot of runs, but he does at least get outs.
Yeah.
All of their ERAs are through the roof right now.
Oh yeah.
And the team ERA is through the roof right now. But you know what? IU was not going to win that game before that inning.
No,
there was no chance IU was going to win that game before that inning.
Nope.
So that those extra 10 runs didn't mean anything.
Right.
And what would they end up losing the series in the last game by 1 run.
Yep.
On the road.
Yep.
Against a 20 plus win team.
Yep.
So you know what? I sorry, that part doesn't bother me. Now, giving up 16 runs when the team scored 15.
that part.
Yeah, that part rubs us a little the wrong way. You know, but
and if it were anybody but Purdue.
You know, but you know, Purdue has won over 20 games for a reason. Yes, yep. It's not the greatest competition, but you know what? They have won that many games.
Yep.
They've got some really good hitters on that team.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you don't pitch them perfect, they're gonna hurt you.
Yep.
That's just part of it. You know, you don't wanna give up quite as many of the freebies as we're giving up. I think that's something the team needs to continue to improve on. And I feel they're heading in that direction. And as I said, talking about the difference in offense from last year to this year, they're capable of it. This coaching staff can make the adjustments. And yes, a lot of the adjustments we're talking about are going to have to be between seasons. Yeah. But they've already shown as a program they know how to do this. Mm-hmm. So while this season may not be what we want, look at how much this team relies on freshmen.
Yep.
And yep. They've got another good, great class coming in. This program is in perfectly good shape.
Yep.
Down seasons happen. Yes, there may be a few of the absolute elite teams in the SEC where they don't happen.
Where
quite frankly, they overcommit and they yep. bring in 60 guys.
Yep.
This is a IU is a development focused under Jeff Mercer is a development focused organization.
Yep.
Even when they've had the ability to oversign with COVID, they've not really brought more than 40 guys that are really expected to play.
Yep.
And the idea there is they know that with three paid coaches, there's only so much development they can do. And their focus is on developing guys.
Yep.
So yeah, that's going to leave an opportunity that if a good chunk of the pitching staff doesn't have it, that might put you in a tough situation.
Yep.
But you know, they're going to be able to make adjustments to it just like they did with the offense last year.
Yep.
These are good guys. You know, Dustin Glant, his history is too solid. His yep. time at Ball State, his work in the Yankees, it's too solid. This isn't because, you know, there was a poor coaching hire.
No.
I don't at all believe that. This is a good group of coaches, and they're going to do great things with this program.
I was describing it to a friend as essentially whatever the opposite of a perfect storm is, that's what it's been for the pitching in particular so far this season. Just kind of no one thing is the cause of the issues. It's kind of just a little bit of everything going on.
And yes, we would have loved to have Josh and Chris, but actually it's the lousy weather tonight that has caused them to both have work issues. So they're kind of stuck doing stuff with work tonight because of the various weather issues that we are having in the Midwest this week, which we as baseball fans are all well too familiar with.
Uh-huh.
But hopefully we'll try to get the whole gang back together next week, although we might be a little later than usual, given that we have two midweeks next week. So we may not be able to record until later in the week. So we'll get more into that once we have all that nailed down. For Cassidy Palmer, I'm Carl James. And also for Chris Feeney and Josh Bennett, and the road continues. It's going to be a little while, but at some point the Hoosiers will be back in Bloomington, and at that point we will see you at the BART.